Let us think about the words of Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The country of Lebanon has not been so much in the news in recent times, but I would venture to suggest that it will not stay out of the news for very long, if history is anything to go by, because there's always the fomenting of strife in the Middle East, and if it's not Israel itself, then it's Gaza, and if it's not Gaza, it's Egypt, and if it's not Egypt, it's Lebanon or some other of those countries. Syria is very much in the news. The country of Lebanon is often in the news for the wrong reasons. You may or may not know that the national emblem of Lebanon is the cedar tree. Now, the Christian is compared to a range of different things in Scripture. The Lord's people are called sheep. And that's something we could talk about for quite a period of time, and the likenesses that there are between sheep and the Lord's people. There are some inanimate objects to which the righteous person is likened. And one of those is a tree. If you read Psalm 1, you will find there the Lord speaking about the blessed man who ultimately is Christ. I would suggest that he is the one who is particularly in view in Psalm number 1, but of course it has application to all of the Lord's people. But it says in verse 3 of the blessed man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He is like a tree planted. In Psalm 92, the Lord's servant is compared to a palm tree in verse 12. And he's also compared in the same verse to a cedar in Lebanon. Now, that comparison to the cedar tree is a very interesting one. It's filled with instruction. And I did some research some time ago on the cedar tree and discovered a number of things about the cedar tree that do apply to the life of every Christian, and if they don't, they should apply to the life of every Christian. The Lord says here, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The first thing I want us to think about in relation to the cedar. The cedar that grows in Lebanon has a particular situation that it grows in. Let's think about its situation. I've never been there. I've never seen that. I've seen pictures of it. But conventional wisdom teaches us, and those who know about these things will tell us, it grows in very high ground. Cedar trees can be found at elevations of more than 6,000 feet above the Mediterranean Sea. One expert writer said of the cedar, it is only on loftier ranges of Lebanon that they flourish. Now, that's a very interesting fact. That's a very interesting detail. We can apply this to the Christian. The Lord would have us to do so because he is the one who makes the likeness between the child of God and this tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So if that's true, that the cedar in Lebanon grows at a great height, then the Christian, we can say, will only flourish spiritually in the heights, in the high places. I want to live above the world where Satan's darts at me are hurled. So says the hymn. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. We need to get above the world and near to God. The prophet Habakkuk, that's how I say it, old habits die hard. chapter 3 and verse 19 of his prophecy says this: "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." Before I say anything more about that, there was a great preacher that you've heard me reference before in Ireland called W.P. Nicholson. And W.P. Nicholson was in a prayer meeting once when a young Christian, I mean by that not young in age, but someone who had only recently been converted, began to pray and said, "Lord, make our feet like hens' feet." And Nicholson, with a wry smile, in the middle of that prayer — that's the kind of guy he was, he would just shout something out — he said, "Answer that prayer, Lord, because if his feet are like hen's feet, he'll never backslide, for we've never seen a hen walking backwards yet. Make my feet like hen's feet." Well, the poor soul had gotten it wrong. But the Lord understood what he was talking about. It's hind's feet. A hind is like a deer or an antelope. It's a creature that is very sure-footed and is found on the highest of ground, in the mountaintops. The Lord will make our feet like hinds' feet. And, of course, the next phrase, the next clause, tells us where the hind usually walks. "And he will make me to walk upon mine high places." In the heights, higher ground. Isn't it so easy to become earthbound? It really is. We get so shook up about things that are happening in our country, rightly so. We become agitated, we become annoyed when it seems like the wicked are prospering and they're able to get away with so much. And it's annoying. But we get so earthbound and we become so worldly minded that we actually end up losing out with the Lord. The world will stunt our growth. We have to live in the world. Of course we do. This is where we live. We're not in the sweet by and by. We are in the nasty now and now, as the preacher put it. But the Bible still says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." In the high places, in the heavenly places. That's where we're supposed to dwell. Now, if you ever have made your way to the top of any great mountain, you'll know that there's a tremendous vision there. There are great panoramas when you're on top of the mountain. Once I climbed the highest mountain in Northern Ireland. I forget how many feet it is, but it's up there. And I climbed it with some other cadets twice in one day. Now, I didn't intend to climb it twice in one day, but one of our friends was on the summit of the mountain after we had already made our way down to the bottom. And when we got to the bottom, we got a radio call on the walkie-talkie to say that one of our friends up there was showing signs of exposure and would have to be brought down. He couldn't make his way down. He was in bad shape, so we put him in one of those bivy bags, as they call it, and we strapped them to a stretcher. We dropped them 5 or 6 times on the way down because our feet were under ice. So it was in the winter time, and that mountain has rocks, and they were covered in ice. And so we thought we were going to kill him. He would die of us dropping him rather than exposure. But we got him down, and everything was good. But twice in one day, I climbed Slieve Donard. That's my claim to fame. Now, I was in good shape in those days, I hasten to add. But there are some beautiful vistas from up there. On a clear day, you can see for miles. You can see all the other range of hills there for a start in the Mourne Mountains. It's an absolutely beautiful place to be, right up on top of the mountain. You get clear air there. Sometimes the air gets a bit thin, but nevertheless, there are great vistas, great vision from the top of the mountain. And God's child always needs to have a great vision of the Lord, a vision of how things really are, a vision for the souls of men, a vision for the work of God. The problem with being earthbound is that the world tends to cloud our vision. And so we need to often resort to the higher situation with the Lord. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. If we want to be like a cedar in Lebanon, we're going to have to make our way to the heights. May the Lord lead us to higher ground. Its situation is important. Its solitariness is important. The cedar of Lebanon is a tree that you'll often find growing alone. I've read that the cedar tree can sometimes grow to 100 feet. Now, 100 feet is tall. That's a big tree. And yet, though a cedar in Lebanon could grow to 100 feet, it's able to stand by itself. It doesn't need to be with struts attached to it. It doesn't need to be tied to something else. It'll stand tall by itself. And isn't there a lesson there for us that Christians need to learn how to stand alone without somebody else propping them up? Now, you know, it's good to have company. It's good to have fellowship. The Bible encourages that. The Bible exhorts that. We're taught that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man the countenance of his friend. The Bible says that two are better than one. It's always good to have company. It's always good to have support. But there are those times in our lives when we have to learn to stand alone. We read of Elijah, the prophet of God on Mount Carmel. At the beginning, nobody stood with him. He was absolutely alone on one side. The prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves, 850 of them, on the other side, with Ahab and a non-committal nation. People in the middle who were indifferent, who were still not quite decided. And of course, Elijah challenged them about that, about how long they would halt between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Make up your mind. But at that point, you have to say, Elijah was standing by himself. And the Lord enabled him to do that. There are other places in Scripture where we read of people who had to stand by themselves. Timothy, for example, was told by Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 and 17, about a particular time in his life. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Paul knew what it was like to have to stand on his own. And 2 Timothy 4, 16 says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. There are times in your life and in your experience when you might have to stand alone. Sometimes a person is the only Christian in their family. Sometimes they're the only Christian in their place of employment. There are different situations where you might just be the only one. And we can't use other Christians as crutches to prop us up because they're not there. But even if we are in a place where there are other believers, we shouldn't use other believers as props. Because if they happen to fall or fail, we will also fall and fail. The hymn says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Or as Dr. Paisley used to teach us, dare to be a Protestant, dare to stand alone, dare to say the Bible's true, and down with the Church of Rome. That was a mantra of his. We have to learn to stand in solitariness. But as well as its situation, it's in the high place, its solitariness, it grows alone. We can think about its smell. I don't know if you've ever smelled cedar wood, but it's a beautiful smell when it's freshly cut. The cedar tree has a pleasant fragrance. It has a lovely aroma. When I was a young man, there used to be a talcum powder that fellows were fond of using, and the name of it was cedar wood. So that's what it smelled like. Nice fragrance. Listen to what the Bible says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 11. Solomon's Song, chapter 4, the 11th verse. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb, honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Fragrance, a beautiful smell off of the garments. We recently studied Hosea. You may recall in chapter 14 of that prophecy, it mentions this very thing about his branches spreading, his beauty being as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Now, when it says that in Hosea 14, verse 6, this is exactly what it's referring to. In fact, you could read verse 5 as well. When it speaks of the growth, he will cast forth his roots as Lebanon. This has to do with the cedar tree. But his branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. That's the cedar of Lebanon. What is it saying? It's saying to us here that the believer's life ought to give off a beautiful fragrance. There ought to be that fragrance, that smell of Christ off of us. I gave that illustration a few weeks ago. It bears repetition. There were folks in an English factory that produced perfume, cologne. And when they used to go out into the neighborhood at lunchtime or when they got off work, people used to smell this beautiful perfume as they were walking past, because working in that factory, their clothing would take on the fragrance. So they would go out there and you just smell of perfume. And if we're in the presence of Christ, we're having fellowship with Christ, there ought to be that fragrance of Christ about us. The Bible talks about an individual, Philippians 4, verse 18. And it says there, I have all and abound. This is Paul writing. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Epaphroditus was a servant of God. He brought gifts, material offerings from the Philippians to Paul. And here's how Paul described that. Philippians 4:18. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. When we do what is pleasing to God, it's like a beautiful aroma in his nostrils. It is as a beautiful smell before him. And if we're living the way that we should, our very presence among people ought to be a blessing to them. We want to be a blessing to others. We want to take the fragrance of Christ with us, that people might take knowledge of us that we've been with the Lord. We've been in his presence. Something else about the cedar I want to mention, and that is its strength. The cedar of Lebanon, we're told, is an extremely strong, robust tree. Even its name, cedar, means strong and firmly rooted tree. And this strength, we're told, is largely due to its deep roots. The cedar of Lebanon, apparently, I'm not a horticulturist. I don't know personally that this is true, but I've read this, that the cedar of Lebanon has a very unique root system. The roots have to go really far down in order to obtain a secure water supply. If you go back in your Old Testament to the book of Numbers, chapter 24 and verse 6, the Bible says there, as the valleys are they spread forth, it's talking about the dwelling places of Israel, As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes which the Lord hath planted, and notice this, and as cedar trees beside the waters. As cedar trees beside the waters. Why were they beside the waters? Because the roots would have to obtain that secure supply in order to feed that big tall tree. Our roots need to go down deep in the things of God. I do honestly think today is a day of surface Christianity. There is an awful lot of superficiality in churches, in so-called worship. You have so much meaningless jargon and tripe that is talked. And people will listen to some TV preacher and say, oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that marvelous? And when you listen to it, you think, there was nothing in it. He never said anything. But yet they're blown away by it. And that just shows you the kind of superficial spirit that there is with so many. The roots do not go down deep in the things of God. It's all on the surface. And we should never be, and we cannot be satisfied with mere surface Christianity. The Bible teaches us that before we can bear fruit upward, we must take root downward. The roots need to get down deep. And there's even an application in that to the gospel itself. I don't want to go into the parable of the sower, but just the one aspect there that comes to mind is the rocky or stony ground. The problem with the lack of bearing of fruit, or that which comes up quickly and dies quickly, is that it really didn't get down deep enough. There was no deepness of earth. I think it's the Gospel of Luke brings that out. No deepness of earth. We've got to take root downward, like the cedar tree. We are to be rooted in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Mention this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up. Ephesians 3 verse 17 teaches the same thing. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, etc. To be a strong Christian, you've got to be grounded in the Word of God. You've got to be rooted in the things of Christ. The exhortation is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You'll never be strong in the Lord unless you put down deep roots. The strength of the cedar tree is that which a Christian should aspire to. Something else about the cedar tree is its sameness. It's always the same. And what I mean by that is the cedar tree is an evergreen. And an evergreen always looks the same pretty much. And the believer, we are taught in Scripture, in Psalm 1 again, is to be an evergreen. Not fluctuating, not up and down like a yo-yo, but always the same, consistent. You notice what it says there, Psalm 1 verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Is it perhaps not a reference to the cedar of Lebanon? That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why does his leaf not wither? Because it's an evergreen. We know that the deciduous trees here in Pennsylvania in the fall, they die and they wither and they fall off the trees, and then all of a sudden you've got bare trees for the whole winter. It's a sad thing to see any Christian who is not consistent but always up and down. You meet them one day, they're on the top of the mountain, the next day they're down in the valley. One day they're encouraged, the next day they're down in the dumps. Now, I know that there's some fluctuation in our experience. The Lord understands our personalities. The Lord understands our hearts. We all have those seasons when we can maybe not be having such a good day. But we ought to strive for consistency, steadiness. Always like that description of people that I've known, maybe a brother in Christ. He's steady. He's steady. He's just always the same. He's always consistent. Like the cedar, he's an evergreen, bringing forth fruit in his season. Something else about the cedar that we want to mention, and that is its spread. It talks about the cedar tree in Lebanon flourishing. Psalm 92 and verse 12 speaks of the righteous flourishing like the palm tree, and then he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what 2 Peter 3 verse 18 gives us as an injunction, as a command. This is the Lord's exhortation to you and to me. But grow in grace. Not grow into grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Peter wrote that, it was because he wanted to see the Lord's people progressing. Like the cedar tree. The cedar tree doesn't become a tall tree overnight. It happens over a period of time. Consistent, steady growth. And that is what we should be striving for as the Lord's people. Let me read again some words in the New Testament. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to beware of the professor of Christ who springs up rapidly, seems to make massive progress in a very short space of time. He enthuses about everything right at the start. Usually that kind of thing fades just as quickly as it begins. I've had people come into Bible-believing churches and they're apparently blown away by what's taking place. It's the greatest thing they've ever experienced. It's like the discovery of sliced bread. And within weeks, they're gone. And you wonder, what happened there? I mean, they were all full of vim and vinegar when they first came. It was amazing. They thought this was wonderful. They were blown away by everything. Everything was just so great. They love the church. They love the people. They love the singing. They love the preaching. They love everything about the stand of the church. Oh, this is wonderful. I'll be here forever. And within weeks, they're gone. Now, why is that? Because they're like that which springs up quickly and dies just as quickly as it springs up. Matthew 13 talks about that in that portion I referenced just a minute or two ago. It's referring there in verses 5 and 6 to that which fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. There was hardly any soil there. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. See, it was superficial. It was all in the surface. Verse 6 says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. When the heat was on, they disappeared. And the Lord applied that to those who professed to be saved, and then the heat comes on of persecution or tribulation. Verse 21 of Matthew 13. It says at the beginning, verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy receiveth it. The greatest thing going. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There you have it. When the sun was up, they were scorched. The heat was on, and away they went. The Lord doesn't want us to be like that. Steady growth is true growth. And the portion that we're reading here in Psalm 92 actually says in verse number 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. The wicked spring up, the wicked flourish, but they're not as the cedar in Lebanon. It's not true growth. But the cedar is a tree that spreads, it grows. There's one final thing that I want to say about the cedar in Lebanon. The Lord says his people will be like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I want us to think about its service. The service of the cedar tree. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. And verses 5 and 6. The Lord says, and behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. These are the words of Solomon, recorded by the Lord. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore, verse 6, now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and so on. They were to cut down cedar trees, the cedars of Lebanon. For what purpose? For the building of the Lord's house. They were to be used for the construction of the temple. Go into the next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. It says of Solomon, so he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. Notice how the cedar wood, the cedar trees, were used in building the temple. It was made, actually, from those trees. And what's the application? It's obvious. The supreme use of the believer is in building the Lord's temple today. A spiritual house of God. That's what we're involved in. When we evangelize, when we spread the gospel, we are building the Lord's temple. Because the Lord's temple is not a temple made with hands. It's not a physical building. It's a spiritual building. We turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and from verse 21, it records of Christ, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The supreme job of the Christian is building the Lord's house. Of course, we need to be part of God's temple ourselves, first and foremost. And when we are, then we will seek to bring others to Christ. Are we serving the Lord by winning souls to Jesus? Are we seeking to make the gospel known to others? Are we seeking to take those opportunities that come our way every so often to speak just a word for Him? The Lord can use us to bring others to Christ. Oh, that we might desire to be one who grows as a cedar in Lebanon. This is a great thing to aspire to, that the Lord would help us to grow in that way, to be trees of the Lord's planting, and to be trees that will flourish and give off a beautiful smell, the fragrance of Christ, and be used in His service. He shall flourish as the palm tree. He shall grow as the cedar in Lebanon.